This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
If you need to use your phone, step out of the room, please. And $25 will go to Children's Home Society if you happen to forget or you want to donate. Leave your phone on, right? All right. Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Campbell.
Here.
Deutsch.
Here.
Gibson.
Here.
Hawks.
Here.
Hunt. Or Holmes. Hunt, that's good. Holmes.
Here, I think.
Kaiser. Klum.
Here.
May. McCleary.
Here.
Tolson.
Here.
Woolman. Zickmund.
Here.
Johns.
Here.
Sly.
Here. A quorum.
12. We have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. Minutes from the January 20th meeting, looking for a motion. It's been moved by Representative Gibson, seconded by Representative Johns. Any discussion? So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Minutes are approved. We have pages, a page. No. Well, yes. Okay. Come up and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself. Where you're from. Name, you know the routine.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jennifer Nelson. I am a senior at Huron High School, and I will be attending USD next year to pursue education. Thank you.
You're popular in this committee, you know. Maybe you tell the other pages, just make it up. You know, they're going to be a teacher. They're going into education. Pass the word. It goes fast, right? Let's see. Is the other one out? Or okay. Oh, you're okay. It's okay. You can come forward and take a risk. Yeah. You have to take a chance here in Education Committee.
Okay. Well, my name is Erica Kitchenmaster, and I'm from Lake Andy, South Dakota. Well, yes, everyone's from South Dakota. But I'll be attending Northwestern College in the fall, and I'll be majoring in music education.
Oh, that's good, too. Yeah. We got the good pages this day, I believe. So with that, if you plan to testify, be sure that you sign in on the podium in the back. And it helps if you print your name, because our secretary is, we want to be accurate in reporting so that when your name goes down as having been in this committee, that we have it spelled correctly and that we know who you are. Representative Gibson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for the good of the order of the Education Committee. Jennifer's sister, Rachel, is a third grade teacher in the Sioux Falls School District right now.
Oh,
and her mother is a school is a teacher in the Huron School District.
So. And the beat goes on,
and the
right?
beat goes
that's
on.
That's great.
Teachers,
I like that.
Yay.
If you're a lobbyist, be sure that you're wearing a badge of the group that you are representing also. All questions will be addressed through the chair. And also, if you have any handouts, please use our pages when we're doing that. Before we start today, we are going to do House Bill 1013 and House Bill 1014. But the last time we met, right at the very end, there was Tiffany Sanderson spoke about the average salary in South Dakota. And I could see that there was a look of kind of alarm or like, could this really be, or how is this? So I would just share with you a few things. I asked for a follow-up on this and what it was based on, because earlier I'd received something from Kids Count, and it said that the mean household income in South Dakota is $65,000. But notice the words. It says mean household income. So that's different than what Tiffany was sharing with us. So I asked her to clarify the $37,200 that she talked about. She said that data came from unemployment insurance data, so doesn't reflect anyone who is self-employed or works for the military or federal government. So that changes how those numbers are. So she did a sort of average wages for those positions where they recommend a bachelor's degree. That average is $61,797, so $61,800 basically. A master's degree is at $64,000. So my caution to you, or my just talking about it, is be sure we know what we're measuring and what's being reported before we go, oh my goodness, how can this be? Because it makes a lot of difference. Just like a few days ago, we had the presentation on education funding. And when we were looking at that too, sometimes there are reports in a newspaper or through a blog or somewhere. So make sure that we're really comparing apples to apples when we are looking at data. Because one time a very wise person told me, you tell me what you want, I can make the numbers say anything you want them to say. So just be thoughtful in that as we're moving forward, whether it's in this committee or in other decisions that you're making. So it's not a lecture or anything. It's just information for you to be aware that we be thoughtful in looking at the details, because that's what really makes a difference in those numbers that are reported. So with that, we're going to begin with House Bill 1013, an act to revise certain provisions regarding alternative instruction achievement tests for children excused from school attendance. Any proponents for House Bill 1013? Good morning.
Good morning. Bobby Rank with the Department of Education. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of House Education. And I am here to testify in favor of this bill. This is a department bill. Before I start, I'm embarrassed to say that the page, when I filled out my name on the sheet, had to come over to me and have me rewrite it because my handwriting was so atrocious. So the I think the little reminder at the beginning of the committee to write your name clearly was probably directed at me, and I apologize. But this is a very short bill, and so I expect my testimony to also be short. What this bill does is there are two changes in this bill. On page 1, line 9, that is simply a form and style change that was made by LRC. Every time that we submit a bill for review, if LRC sees a form and style issue in an existing statute, they will fix that, and that's all that is, and it's not a substantive change. The real change in this bill is on page 2, line 4, and just generally in a little bit of background, children that are receiving, that are excused from public school attendance because they are receiving alternative instruction or homeschooling, are required to take a standardized test currently in grades 2, 4, 8, and 11. And there is another statute, which is 1327.3, which is not part of this bill, that requires those tests to be filed with the resident school district. And so, and the testing options are homeschool parents can either use the tests provided by the state, or they can provide their own standardized test. And so the only thing that we are doing in this bill is we are simply removing the requirement to test in grade 2. There will still be a requirement to test in grades 4, 8, and 11. The reason we're doing that is there has been some pushback in regard to grade 2 from homeschool parents as to why are we testing grade 2 for homeschool children when those grades are not required to be tested as part of the state assessment. And that, in addition with the fact that the state actually has a state paid option for these tests, we felt grade 2, it's not necessary to test that grade. We're removing that, and so there will still be a requirement to test in grades 4, 8, and 11. And so that's really all this bill does, is remove that grade 2. I am authorized to state, we've obviously discussed this bill with the homeschool associations, and Matt Irwin, who's a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Home Educators, has just authorized me to say that they are in favor of the bill. There was no need for them to travel all the way to essentially give a me too. So, like I said, I will keep my testimony short, and we'd ask that you vote yes on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Other proponents? Proponents for House Bill 1013.
Madam Chair, Norman Woods, Family Heritage Alliance Action. We just want to go on record and give a quick me too and thank the Department of Education for finding a regulation that's maybe not necessary and for seeking to straighten that out. So we just want to give a quick me too and thank you.
Thank you. Other proponents? Proponents for House Bill 1013.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I did not get that gentleman's name.
Norman Woods.
Thank you.
Other proponents? Seeing none, are there opponents? Opponents to House Bill 1013? Opponents? Seeing none, the chair closes testimony and we move into questions. Questions from the committee. No questions. Wow, that's great. A good day here. Let's move. Not that I don't like questions. It was very self-explaining. And with that, we move into committee comments.
Madam Chair, move do pass.
Second.
It's been moved by Representative Zickman, seconded by Representative Wollman. Any comments? Any comments on that motion?
Madam Chairwoman.
Representative Deutsch.
Just said it's nice to see the State Department of Education and the homeschoolers come together on a bill that they can agree on.
Any other comments or discussion? Okay. All those in favor will be saying aye, and those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Campbell.
Aye.
Representative Deutsch.
Aye.
Gibson.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Holmes.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Kaiser. Klum.
Aye.
May. McCleary.
Aye.
Tolson.
Aye.
Woolman.
Aye.
Zickmund.
Aye.
Johns.
Aye.
Sly.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, we have a quorum. 13 of 15.
13 to, with two excused, is that right? Okay. House Bill 1013 has, do you have something that you need?
No, I was just going to move consent.
Okay, let's get through this part of it first, and then we can move into that. House Bill 1013 has passed. Representative Zickman.
Madam Chair, move consent.
Okay, it's been moved by Representative Zickman, seconded by Representative Hawks. Are there any who would oppose that? Representative Hunt?
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
Thank you. I would oppose it for the simple reason, one, we're early in the session, we have a little time. Secondly, I think as Representative Deutsch pointed out here, this shows some forward progress between two groups that are sometimes contestants, and I think we should let the general public know that we do get along around here. So an opportunity for you to appoint somebody out of this committee to present that would be my recommendation. Thank you.
Okay. And with that, I will appoint Representative Klum because I know that he certainly has an investment in homeschooling. So I think that would be an appropriate way for you to let that message be told to the world. Right? The world. Okay. So with that, we will move into House Bill 1014. An act to authorize a sale of certain surplus real estate and to provide for the deposit of the proceeds. House Bill 1014, any proponents?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Melody Schaap, Secretary of Education. Just a couple things first. I think that I would like to say we have always played well with the homeschoolers. We maybe have always agreed on the same issues, but I really do believe that they do have their place in education and do a good job when in many places. And so we've always tried to work with them and along that way. The reason I'm really here, though, is I want to explain why the next bill's in front of you. It might be a little confusing. I don't know if you've dealt with land sale bills. I certainly hadn't. But as this past year, you might remember, and maybe not, that we now have inherited or adopted the South Dakota Historical Society, and we're now Cultural Heritage Center is back in the Department of Education. So you might remember that years ago we used to be called the Department of Education Cultural Affairs, or DECA. And then we went to the Department of Education, which I think will stay that way. And, you know, things ebb and flow, and they are back with us. So Jay Voigt is going to be here today along with Ryan Bruner to explain this Lansdale Bell to you. And so, and I think also kind of a little history lesson on school and public lands, which was a really good for me to better understand. So I just wanted to explain why you are seeing this bill today, which is a little unusual for the Education Committee.
Thank you.
Madam
Chair. Good morning.
Chair.
We don't see you in here very often.
My first time.
Oh, hey. We'll try to make you feel comfortable.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm J.D. Vogt. I'm a registered public employee lobbyist. I'm director of the South Dakota State Historical Society, which is now a division of the Department of Education. House Bill 1014 authorizes the sale of land in Sully County for the State Historical Society, and then I ask for your support. The South Dakota Legislature created the State Historical Society in 1901 as a state agency to collect, preserve, interpret, and promote the history of the state of South Dakota. In 1928, Agnes Whitlock donated 160 acres of land in Sully County for the benefit of the State Historical Society. That gift was diminished to approximately 97.5 acres as a taking by the United States Army Corps of Engineers as part of the Owyhee Project. At some point in time, knowledge of this land disappeared. And in 2012, Sully County contacted the State Historical Society regarding the issue of taxes. As a political subdivision, that issue was quickly resolved. However, it did bring to our attention that the State Historical Society did own this land, and our Board of Trustees has been working closely with School and Public Lands Commissioner Ryan Bruner to look at their options and how they would wish to proceed. One of those options is to sell the land, and in order to do that under the Constitution and state law, the state legislature must authorize the sale, and House Bill 1014 provides that authorization. It does not require that the land be sold. It does not direct that the land be sold. It just says if you choose to sell the land, you can go ahead and do so. I can't say whether or not the Board of Trustees is going to move in that direction, but that's one of the options they want to have available to them if they make that decision. If the land were to be sold, the money would be deposited in a trust account with the state of South Dakota for the benefit of the State Historical Society. Commissioner Bruner will provide more technical testimony than I have. I just ask for your support of 1014. Thank you for your consideration. I stand by for any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Did he pass committee? I think he did well for coming here for the first time. Yes, they do. Okay. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. Ryan Bruner, Commissioner of School and Public Lands. Great to be here this morning and ask for your support of House Bill 1014. It's been an interesting process. The Historical Society has been great to work with while looking at this land, and as Jay alluded to, it has just a very fascinating history. One thing I would like to thank the Historical Society for is after a lot of this came to light is that they did go out and get title insurance in advance to make sure everything matched up. And so they did get a title insurance policy, which was a good comfort level for us as well, because of the passage of time, the lost knowledge that the property had been donated between when the land was donated and when the deed was recorded, and then when the state found out we had ownership. As Jay alluded to, School and Public Lands has been involved in this because one of our other duties is to also work as a real estate agent for other state agencies. However, when I started looking at the title on this, because it was donated, there's a constitutional provision in Article 8, Section 7 of the state constitution that says a donation for any educational or charitable institution or purpose has to remain as a perpetual trust. And so a very broad term. And there's an attorney general's opinion already on file, 9507, from when the Egg Heritage Museum was transferred between the State Historical Society and the Board of Regents as to some of the items in the collection and those trust provisions. And so we already had good guidance related to that. And so Looking at the fact that it was a gift and such a broad definition of education or a charitable institution or purpose, we already have a trust fund set up. It's the same trust fund. It's invested with the South Dakota Investment Council, same with the state retirement system and all of our other state trust funds. And so the proceeds from this land sale would go to a very well-managed place, similar to all of our other funds. And then on an annual basis, the interest and dividends earned by the investment council would be transferred from our office to the State Historical Society for their use. And so should they decide to move forward with selling it, there'd be a good opportunity there to create a perpetual revenue source for them, as well as getting it back on the property tax rolls for Sola County. And so if they proceed in that way, we're prepared to help them through that process, similar to other state agencies and other state land bills. And we'd ask for your support. I do have up on the screen a picture from the plateau that occurs on the property looking out on Lake Oahe. And so you can see it is a very beautiful piece of property. I'm going to scroll down in this just for a second. It does have a little bit of complications in relation to the access. And this, I'll have to scroll over, it appears, just from the size. But in order to get to the property, on the right side of the screen here, there's 2 miles of a dirt field road. And so it follows the section line. It is a public road, but there's no gravel on it. It's just a dirt road at the end of a field. Then there's a 1.25 miles of section line trail that cuts across that the prairie until you get to the start of where a bluff drops off in this location here. Then there is a 0.33 miles approximately of native rangeland where you have to go down a bluff to get to the corner of the property right up here on the section line. And so that's the legal access to the property. And then the plateau is down over in here that provides some of those wonderful views. And so the land would have to sell for the minimum of the appraised price, which would definitely, Soley County, the average right now, according to the SDSU iGrow, would put us around $100,000 at a minimum on the sale. Because it's got such a beautiful view and has some potential for development, if the right person who wanted to deal with those, like I said, the section lines are there, it's just difficult access. But if somebody wanted to work with the county on the road access and utilities and things of that nature, somebody could develop it and might be willing to pay substantially more. But we can't guarantee that. We still have some work to do with the society in reviewing those options, which is why this is just authority to sell it. But they could make that decision in 6 months, and then we'd have to wait over a year for the legislature to come back and then for July 1st again. And so it's beneficial to have this done. So as we work through some of these issues and look at some of the options, we're ready to go and ready to proceed with the sale if that's the direction that they choose. And so it's a wonderful piece of property. It's very difficult to get to, but it is a great gift from Agnes Whitlock from 1928, and we can finally help honor her wishes with that gift today. So we'd ask for your support and be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any other proponents? Proponents to House Bill 1014? Seeing none, are there opponents? Opponents to House Bill 1014? Seeing none, testimony is closed and we have questions. Representative Kulm.
Mr. Bruner. Madam Chair.
Yes, please.
Thank you. And when you came into my desk, I asked you this, but for the members of the committee, what's been happening with this land up till now?
Madam Chair, the land borders the Corps of Engineer land, and as Jay mentioned, there was some of the land taken in a takings proceeding, but the ownership wasn't known at the time back in the 50s. And so there's the 97.5 acres there borders those Corps lands that is under Game Fish and Parks. However, it's not part of the Game Fish and Parks holding, which was part of the confusion, I think, maybe long term, because it is state property next to state property. The neighboring landowners of the private land actually lease the downhill core land from the Game Fish and Parks, and so they've been grazing and taking care of this land as part of that land for a period of years. I don't know if they've been the same folks on there since 1928 or not, but obviously that was before the dam was built, so there's a period of time in there I don't know, but at least in recent times, they've been grazing it and taking care of it. And so with properties and, you know, there's not a lot of noxious weeds or things like that. They've they've done a good job managing that property, thinking it was part of their other lease, but it's not. So we've been in communication with them as well as to the ownership of it, and they've been good to work with.
Thanks for that question. Great story. That
follow up then. So on the map, where is the Game Fish and Parks land and the private land?
Madam Chair, the Game Fish and Parks land is what is the land from the Corps of Engineers that would follow really right inside here. If you look to the left of the red line, and this is not an official survey. I drew these lines on by hand in Google Earth using the measurement tool, so it's reasonably accurate because it measures within feet. But I thought I should at least throw that out there. So the core land borders all along this edge here, and then follows all along the Missouri River. There is some other Google Earth pictures, depending on the timeline that you look at. We're down here in the corner, depending on the elevation of Lake Oahe, where the water does come up and touch the Historical Society's property. And that I did check with Game Fish and Parks, and their ownership is based on elevation. So there are times if Lake Oahe is at a certain level that the water does touch the property, but the land there was under the Army Corps of Engineers from when Lake Oahe was built, and we will at some point, and I should address this, Madam Chair, and I neglected to address this, but the legal land description is for the full 160 acres. The reason there's only 97 and a half left, but the reason we do that is the legal land description goes into three different sections of land there. At some point, we'll have this surveyed, and we've had other instances, some land we sold for Human Services in Yankton last summer, where it hadn't been surveyed since 1861, and when we had it surveyed, we found 8 more acres on the north side of the James River that we owned, and then were able to proceed with selling because the legislative authority was broad, and so we could end up with some fractional acres in some different locations. And so if you're doing the math on the legal land descriptions in the bill, it's for all the 160 acres. We can only sell the portion that the society owns, but we need that broad authority in case we find more land.
Do you have another follow-up?
So say that's sold, the Game Fish and Parks land, if it's not sold to like the private landowner who's currently using it, it's going to have to be fenced off, I'm assuming, so.
Madam Chair, well, there are different rules and things that apply to that, and it would depend on who purchased it and for what purpose they purchased it. If they, we're not going to be the ones fencing it off, and so if a private person wants to fence it or do housing or some sort of cabins, or if they want to graze it, you know, those are all issues that we'll have to work through with the purchaser and the Game Fish and Parks and the Historical Society. They would not necessarily have to fence off the Game Fish and Parks land. It's not fenced at this time. It's isolated out there because of the difficult access, so it doesn't get hunting and fishing and or any public use, because you have to walk for a while to get to it. And we did it in August. It was a little bit hotter, but we went out there, and that's where we got some of the pictures that are in here.
Any other questions from the committee? Representative McCleary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Secretary, a question, and only because I've had the issue on my property. We're road across private property, not legal access. Is there an opportunity, or do you see an opportunity where there could be an easement purchased from the landowner presently? Then there would be access, and maybe something to think about, access then for person who maybe is going to purchase it or whatever else. Thank you.
Madam Chairman, that's a fantastic idea. The one issue that will come up with that prior to the sale is that the adjoining landowner wants to purchase the property, and so they're probably not going to be likely to want to issue an easement ahead of the sale, because that will result in more competitive bidding or a higher price that they'll either have to pay in the end or in somebody else getting the land. And so we ran into this, that 8 acres we found north of the James River had a similar issue because of the river with access, and we probably would have had to go to court at some point in order to get an easement declared and then purchased based on the, you know, following the state statutes in regard to access and compensation for what that appraised value is, either with the county commission or then appealing on, you know, to the court level. But you know, we can certainly ask, but I would believe that most of the time when the adjoining landowner wants to purchase it, they're usually not in a hurry to issue an easement. If another person did purchase it, you know, it would be up to some engineering work to decide where the right in this location here where the section line crawls over, there is a bluff there. It really probably isn't passable by vehicle right now, but it probably could be made passable by vehicle. And so those statutes with section lines refer to, you know, working with the county to get access if there isn't access via section line. And so depending on the soil quality and formation, if it's a shale hill or in some of that, they may not want to build a road there. That would be more technical engineering related questions. If they could not build a road down there to get access to the property, then they could, the new landowner could work with the county commission and then eventually the court level if necessary to take an easement across that area to get to the property. So there are legal options, but it's difficult to pursue those as the state ahead of the sale because we'd be probably taking legal action against those private folks and at an expense to the state, and not sure what the revenue is on the other end. So a fantastic question, and it's something I wish there was maybe an easier answer to. But
other questions from the committee? Seeing none, Representative Wallman has a question? Okay.
I told him not to ask.
Yikes. We better.
Well, I think I'm done here.
Oh, yeah.
No, I've been calling this site on Google Earth, zoomed in. There's bees on there.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Yes, that was a conversation we had with Jay and the Historical Society. Actually, if you look at the Google Earth timeline, there are pictures with not bees on there. And then there are bees in three or four locations along there. And as I said, there's some confusion with state property next to state property. But those bees are there, and was in a cooperative effort related to some of the pollinator-related programs with Game, Fish, and Parks. And so the bees would have been placed there thinking that they are on the core land as part of the pollinator program. And you know, working with bee production. Now those beehives are no longer there. They weren't there in August when we went out there, but a couple years ago when the Google Earth picture was taken, yes, there are beehives there. And if you look further back up over here, there are two or three locations along there that have bees on them. But part of having land next to land and not knowing that we didn't, or that, you know, the ownership clearly kind of resulted in that. So.
The chair can tell we only have two bills today and that we have plenty of time. I'm going to close questions and we're going to move into committee discussion and or action. Representative Gibson.
Madam Chair, I move due pass of House Bill 1014.
It's been moved by Representative Gibson, seconded by Representative Klum. Due pass for House Bill 1014. Any comments? Representative Klum.
I love to see it when public land goes back into private ownership, so I hope that's what happens.
Yes. Thank you. Any other comments?
Madam Chair.
Representative Zickman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jay, would you please see Representative Klum? I think he wants to buy your property. So.
If there are no further comments, Secretary will call the roll. All those in favor will be saying aye, and those opposed, the same sign.
Representative Campbell?
Aye.
Deutsch?
Aye.
Gibson?
Aye.
Hawks?
Aye.
Holmes?
Aye.
Hunt?
Aye.
Klum?
Aye.
May? McCleary?
Aye.
Tolson?
Aye.
Woolman?
Aye.
Zickmund?
Aye.
Johns?
Aye.
Sly?
Aye.
Okay. 13.
And two excused, right?
Excused.
Okay. House Bill 1014 moves to the House floor with a due pass. With that, we have finished our business for the day. And Representative Holmes?
Madam Chair, consent?
Is anyone? Someone objects, so we'll take it to the floor. Actually, it's a fascinating story, isn't it, of how that comes about. And I think as legislators, this is a great opportunity to tell about some really just unknown things that we can make an impact with. So I think that discussion, it might even be good to have copies of the land and that put it on the legislator's desk. I'll visit with you. And Representative Tolson, would you carry that on the floor? Okay. I was looking Sully County. I don't think we have anyone in our committee that's connecting to Sully County. Your dad is. Really? Nice. Yeah, thank you. Okay, our committee has only been assigned one bill so far, one additional bill. So Monday, we are not going to meet. So I thought it was, we have a short weekend, and for some people, that makes a difference in when you come into town. And for one bill, and they're not just flooding in right now, and so we will have plenty of time to address any bills coming in. So we will, I'll leave that up to you. Also on Monday, just a reminder and encourage you, we have another presentation on the education funding after session. And we'll be talking about capital outlay and other revenue. And we will schedule other meetings as needed for other topics that we might need. So consider coming to that. I would encourage you to come. And we will meet next Wednesday. Okay? So is there a motion to adjourn? It's been moved by Representative Klum, seconded by Representative McCleary. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. We are adjourned.